is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Where I from, Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Way I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Way I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, Governor, MP. I am the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that will mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. To the callers, you know, you guys do a wonderful job. Even those who have their opinion on their comments they make on the show, we do appreciate those as well, because we have to keep an open mind. And remember, I'm one of the most balanced person who comes on radio, where I don't take sides. You know, I put where right is, I put where wrong is. Okay? If you're doing good, I would speak on the good that you're doing. If you're doing bad, I would speak on the bad you're doing. I'd also find solutions, as well as the callers that call in on a Friday to give their opinion and their suggestions on how they could contribute to some of the problems we face in the country. So it's always my pleasure to be able to come out here and have a wonderful conversation to the nation and also worldwide, because there are so many people who listen to Inside the Inner City. I mean, they listen to Guardian on the whole. But wow, I cannot believe that the opportunity I was given to have my voice heard on the radios for the last over 10 years on Guardian. And it's been an incredible journey. You know, and I think many of the programs and solutions that we have been given to the country has been initiated, means they are in the works across the country. So I just want people to know that many of the topics that we talk about on this show, many solutions are taken from this particular show and what the guests them be saying and the callers be saying when they call in, and are being written down, and I'm seeing that they're being applied across the country. So I just like to give a quick rundown what I'm talking about. The government has launched their cleanup program in inner city communities, where they're moving dialect vehicles. They're also looking to purchase abandoned homes, you know, and see how they can rebuild it or repair them and make it available for the Bahamian people. There are so many homes that need repair. There are so many families and persons out there looking for a roof over their head. And we have thousands of rundown homes in this community that Bahamians at large, either they're passed away, or their family members are not working together, so they just leave these houses and apartments because there's an indifference between their opinion. They probably don't like one another. And, you know, it just being laying in limbo for so long. But there are so many houses that can be refurnished in the country as long as we have an idea on how to do it. And you're going to need a team of persons to walk these, canvas these areas. Part of the, I guess, the government team, part of the community team, and go and write down how many houses are in a particular corner. And by you scratching that avenue, I mean, the area, you know, you'd say like we have like 100, 200 homes in like in the Camp Road area, for instance. You know, when you turn to Camp Road, sometimes you'd see this road where they have so many abandoned houses. And this is the kind of suggestions that we are making to the government and also to private partners, you know, who are concerned. And maybe this could be a good investment for persons who are looking to buy real estate and could probably sell it at a low price back to Bahamian people who are looking for a nice home to stay in. You know, this would be a good opportunity. Pay, you know, rent to own, for example, would be a good suggestion. So today's show, we're going to talk about a little bit about the police, and then we're going to talk about the housing issue in the country. You know, the government just gave 12 brand new keys to some family members who really was in need. But for me, I was talking to my friend Elroy, who dropped me to the studio a few minutes ago, and he's saying, wow, just 12? So I said, you know, we as Bahamian with a growing population, with 700 islands, 700 keys, you know, a suggestion like 2,000 homes a year would be appropriate, you know, for the government to really talk about. But it's a step in the right direction, you know. But I'd also like to encourage persons who have family properties on the family island, you know, this is a good time for you to come up with your creative idea on what you could do with the property, you know, the crown land or the family land that you have on the family island that is doing nothing, no one's doing nothing with. It's just laying dormant. Maybe you could set up Airbnb. Maybe you could build a community like Life at Key or some subdivision, and then you could sell these homes to, you could give them to your, you could sell them to your relatives, you could sell them to some of your friends, you could sell it to Bahamian people who are looking to move from Nassau and go into family and start a new life, you know, a new journey. And that's what we need in the country. So I just want to give you an update on the topic today. So we're going to start the show off with a good gesture for a good police officer. We also want to talk about the progress on how the government and the police, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, is dealing with all of the corruption charges that are being brought against many different officers. And we want to talk about that as well, because we're seeing a lot of movement in that atmosphere. And every time you read the newspaper, you're seeing four more officers getting charged for corruption. Then you listen, you get two more getting charged for corruption. Now we're hearing that the young gentleman, Chubby, and the royal family in Mason, you know, now after 7 years, the officers now are being brought before the DDP. They're now the matter is being transferred to the Supreme Court or to the courts for them to face criminal charges stemming from murder by manslaughter. And the family is really, really happy. You know, I was listening to the interview with D'Angelo Evans. And I know his father, I know his mom too. Chubby is his dad, you know, the Mason Edition residence. And that's D, little D. He used to play in the basketball tournament that he just recently retired after doing like 25 years. Now Nathaniel McKinney has taken over the rim. And, you know, he's one of those kids that used to come across a Mason and, you know, just be a part of giving back and making it fun and combining the two communities together and bringing it closer together. The basketball program brought Mason and Hay Street together, because we had a lot of guys coming from across Mason to play ball in Hay Street, and through that we built a lot of friendship. And, you know, it's just awesome. But just updates. But I also want to talk about, you know, 3 weeks ago, I had former Assistant Commissioner Bishop Ferguson on the show. And, you know, There was a few callers who gave their opinion. You know, they really wanted Mr. Ferguson to answer some questions. But for me, you know, knowing Mr. Ferguson personally as a guy who was a criminal, and Mr. Ferguson was the one who were in charge of the firearms unit, and they were the ones who would come and apprehend us. And I could say in my tenure with Mr. Ferguson and him being in charge of CDU, he treated many of the suspects very decently. And like he said, he was a very strict and honest police officer. So we can't brand every officer with the same stick. But I understand it's very overwhelming of so much corruption, so we kind of lose trust in the police. But with all of these instances where we're seeing officers being charged and put before the court, Johnson's now is a retired officer, but he's before the court now. So he's filming the criminal charges just as well as those four other officers. So it seems to me that the voice of the Bahamian people are being heard, and I think it's because the voice of the Bahamian people itself is the main reason why the powers to be, means the authority, the government, and the Royal Bahamas Police Force organization is now taking steps now to stamp out corruption in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And as we see every day, we see the next officer still seems to be getting the picture. And there's that one that they paid a fine. Sexually assaulted, I think, a 12 or 13-year-old, and he paid a fine and all kind of crap. So, you know, it seems like this corruption was so embedded in the Royal Bahamas Police Force that it got slack. Now that the new commissioner, Commissioner Chanterole, is taking the rem, she seems to be, you know, really trying to get stamp out corruption. So she has to send the message and keep on sending the message in order to stamp out corruption, because every day we see new officers getting charged for some type of criminal offenses, which we normally see young Bahamian men charge before the courts with. So it seems to me that, you know, this is a step in the right direction, you know, and we must be reassured and keep the fire on to make sure that we keep a balance, to make sure that this where officers could go, go and use their position of power to manipulate and to do treason in Johnson case and stuff like that. That's like treason and et cetera. With Curtis, that's like treason and et cetera, you know, because you swore an oath to protect the Bahamian constitution and the Bahamas at large. And when we see that, that's treason, you know. So this is something serious, and I'm glad that we as Bahamians spoke on that matter. And for me, I also blame the Bahamian people, right, for us allowing the force to get so slack over the years when we know what the problem was. But I think because politically inclined, we turned a blind eye, and it got so worse that people saying, you know, I'm an officer, I can get away with this and get away with that. And it passed on to other officers and officers, if they could do it, I could do it, you know. So the morale started deteriorating. Now the Royal Bahamas Police Force, under the leadership of Chanterole, Commissioner Chanterole, I think that if she continue to put officers before the court, continue to discipline the officers and let them know what their job is to protect the Bahamian people, and that if you use your position of power, you yourself can be investigated and put before the courts. And that's what we're looking for in the country. So thumbs up to the Bahamian. Why I said I blame the Bahamian people is that I've been on the streets for a very long time, and I can remember back, say, 20, 25 years ago, when this country came down on the young people in gangs. And I used to hear the whole country, oh, we need to kill them, we need to put them in prison, we need to throw away the key, you know? And this was said all over Nassau. Like, the church didn't want to have nothing to do with the young people, because they said it was like, what they saying now? They were saying, wipe us, you know, this generation of wipers, and the church was refusing us, and the church themselves were against the young people in the country. So what we did, you know, we turned our back on that generation of young people, and that's thousands of young people, and we supported the police fully. So when we were seeing young people get killed in the streets, and sometimes innocently, according to all of these corners matters. It seems to be that the police took things in their hands. You know, some might be being mistakes happening, you know, because around the time in the streets, it was very dangerous. So sometimes just mistakes would happen. Innocent people would get killed because of the high crime rate in the country, and the police are on a high alert. They are dealing with some dangerous individuals in the country, and they come in full force, and they themselves got corrupt. And, you know, and based on the investigation, you know, the Bahamian public were really really responsible as well. How many times we listen to the news and when people talk about the young people going back in early 1996, 97, 98, 99, going back in 92, 93, this is when gangs really start to explode in the country. Drugs started to extra explode in the country. The country got bigger. How many people you saw come on the TV and all say, well, the young people, you need to hang them, you need to do this. You know, in no regard to understand that the young people in our country was dealt a sour was dealt They were dealt abandonment by their government, their church, and their country. Because if we remember closely, we came with a rum era and then we came in a drug era. Remember, we had Alcohol Anonymous before we had the cocaine problem. The cocaine problem followed shortly after the alcohol problem. Remember Alcohol Anonymous? When we saw thousands of Bahamian men and females dead drunk on the side of the road were drinking Bacardi and vodka. And they had rum blossom. Thousands of young boys in the country. So before we had a cocaine or a marijuana problem, we had a drug problem. Then it even got worse when the drugs started to be imported into the Bahamas. And the crack cocaine came on the streets, which destroyed the whole family structure. And then that became the decay of our country. And then that generation of young people who don't have no their grandparents were the ones who were keeping them going, because the grandparents pick up the slack for their sons and daughters who owe their own drugs, who didn't have time for children. And I was one of those, as well as thousands others of kids in the country. And that's one of the reasons we ended up doing some of the stuff we did. Getting involved with bad company, becoming bad company, getting involved in violent crimes, you know, and that changed the trajectory of our country. And I heard many people across this country, pastors, politicians, normal citizens, came on TV and said, we need to do something with them. Now, after education, everyone understand where the problem started from. And now people say, no, we need to rebuild, we need to invest more, we need to build community centers. The situation that's plaguing the country, teenage pregnancy, violent crimes, we have so much kids being abused and et cetera. So now we are saying, now what do we need to do? We need to find an alternative solution, and that's why opportunity is. For our youngsters, for our generation of young people growing up in the Bahamas. So now we started to change our stance from saying kill them and put them in prison and they need to go to jail. Now we're saying now we need to empower them now. So it was us, you know, because we're going along with the police, and why us going along with the police in that instance, they used that as a way to some corruption. But now we're on the right track. We identified the corruption, and that authority is, and the powers to be putting officers before the court, and that is a step in the right direction. That's all we could ask for. But there are still so many good cops on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and this is one. Could we play the voice clip, please?
I did the human thing, and that's what I am proud of. We have to be our brother's keeper. Instead of taking out the cell phones and recording, you stop and you render assistance. I would have seen, as soon as that happened, there was a young man with his cell phone, and I directed him, please, do not record this scene. And it's simply because, what if the mother just is using her cell phone, and she sees her son that is bleeding profusely on the scene? You don't know what sickness, what illness she is already suffering from.
And That is an officer who, you know, helped a jogger who got knocked down on the side of the road, and he did his job. You know, he used his patrol car to block off traffic because the individual who was hurt, suffered serious injuries, you know, was on the side of the road and traffic were speeding, so he used his police-issued vehicle to block the road off and trying motorists on the left side of the road. And, you know, he also stopped persons who, instead of assisting, you know, I mean, a person who, instead of using their camera and not assisting, to actually put it away, because he said, you know, he didn't want the person's parents to see them, because, you know, some people can be sick, and when they see their child on Facebook, they can end up with a heart attack, so you end up doing more harm than good. And yes, there's a lot of decent officers in the force. You know, I have my good friend, Inspector Marco Cordette. He's in the Royal Bahamas Police Band. He just went back. There are just so many good cops out there, you know. But like I said, we have to be able to acknowledge these good cops, their good deeds, and let us, as Bahamian people, are headed in the right direction. As to say, now we are seeing justice. You're getting justice for deed. You know, many of the cases are being investigated, like I said before. So it's like a re-ramping of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay, and my friend has told me the commissioner's name is Shanton Knowles. Excuse me, you know, sometimes, you know, I speak broken English and I talk sometimes a little fast. And, you know, I talk realness. So I thought to put the words together on the show in order for the general public to understand. So, yes. Okay. All right, now what I was saying. I talked about Johnson. More officers were charged before the court. Two more also was charged, and many others are being dismissed from the force once they are charged for a criminal offense. And that's all we could ask for and hope that these individuals who are being persecuted from the public prosecution office, which is the government, and the Attorney General's office, this will deter officers, the young officers and officers on the force now, to do things with due care, to keep them in line. And then we also need to put a special team of investigators. You know, they have it, and it seems to me that they now are utilizing it without prejudice. Means that they're going after their colleagues now because the pressure's on. And with those international corruption charges that have been filed against high-ranking police officers who are now former police officers, the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Bahamas government has no choice but to take action. They're taking action, and we, as Bahamians, has to understand that these are the first step, and we can't judge every officer. Mind you, I'm a person. I should be the one hating officers, okay? But even in my field, when I was a bad boy, right, I had good officers who would protect me and help me when I was in custody. So there's always a balance. It's just that it got out of hand, and now that we are rectifying the situation, that's all we can ask for. Okay. We could play the second clip, if you still go ahead.
On the day of the stabbing, Assistant Commissioner Ramming went up to the facility because it's a government facility. The BDOCs persons were there. The investigation was initiated. The report received by me was that the perpetrator was identified. I would expect that he will face homicide charges, bearing in mind the profile of it and of him. I'm not the DPP. The DPP is an independent individual. But to my legal mind, it's a case that would warrant him being charged with capital murder. But that is actually the decision of the DPP, who is independent. I cannot tell her what to do. But that's my view of it. And once you're charged with homicide, there is no charge greater than that.
As it relates to the matter going on in Haiti,
That's the incident that is happening at our prison, that has been happening at our prison. I'm only one of the few shows that had guys who just did 15 years, 7 years, came on the show, and they expressed their experiences about the prison. I have had Bloody on the show. You know, he was on a few years ago, but 2 years back, And he did 15-year sentence, and he was here. He was on the show, and I know the whole Bahamas listened. And everything the guy said is true. I had my good friend James Chucky Charles, one of the former leaders of the Border Boys, along with myself. He was on the show. He did four, five to seven years in prison for manslaughter. And he was able to talk about the experience on the same particular show. And he tell you about guys getting raped. He's telling you about guys getting stabbed. Now, all that was thrown under the rug because the people at the Bahamas Correctional Center, you know, they didn't want the general public, means us, to know that it was so dangerous and these things happening in the prison. Because they're saying that the prison's supposed to be one of the most well-protected places, you know, in the Bahamas. How is it that prison inmates are being stabbed, inmates are being beaten, inmates are being raped and being abused and robbed in the prison? And I have had them on the show, and that's what I was using this platform for, to solve these problems, to bring these problems that I say were held in the dark, and to bring people who had the experience in prison to come on the show and express themselves and tell the general public, maybe it's gone on deaf ears, but you see, everything that is happening now in the country is actually true. Everything we speak upon on this show is actually true. So now we have a stabbing incident at the prison where an inmate gets stabbed to death. And listen, he got stabbed to death because they were going to move their waste bucket. Their waste bucket. And in doing so, altercation occurred. An inmate is dead. A 60-year-old is dead. And then in the next stabbing incident where they said someone else, I think, probably got killed. Or passed away. I'm not too sure, but, you know, I got to be... I saw someone still injured or something like that. And just right after that incident, so even though the prison is locked down after getting murdered, okay, you're expecting that the inmates in the prison would cease and second, means they would be a little afraid and be afraid of the prison officers and et cetera, because you know this inmate getting killed and the prison getting locked down, so you know movement is going to be restricted. They're going to be enforcing searches and et cetera. So this is a time for the prison to be a little shaky. Nope. Next incident. And there's so many other incidents that are going on in prison with stabbing, drugs, rape, robbery, sexual assault, brutality from both prison officials, either beating inmates or working with inmates or bringing in drugs into prison. All this will be going on in our country. So listening to the Minister of National Security, he is talking about, you know, the situation concerning the prison, about building a new prison and et cetera. But I just want to say this to the general public. Up there in prison is hell, people. It's hell. All right? Ain't no plaything up there. You go up there with your Jordans and you ain't get no stripes, your tan is gone. You go up there and you don't know nobody, you get raped. You get brutalized. Okay? Your property that your family sent, if you ain't get no type of aggressiveness to defend yourself, all your stuff get taken. Or, you know, just get taken. And once you get taken advantage of in the prison, and one inmate do it to you, it's all over for you. You get passed around like a toy. So you wonder why some of the guys coming to the prison so rough and tough and so dangerous. The sexual assault individual who charged for serious crimes, like, you know, and being released back in the general public, only to go there and go kill a little Marco Watcher or a little Ariel who was killed about 3 months ago. You know, the boys in Freeport, Marco Watcher. And you wonder why? Because these guys end up getting brutalized in prison. And when they get released, they go back on the streets, and what happened to them, they take it out on others. That's blaming people. So we have to find ways to stop our young people from going to prison, change their mindset. in order for us to have a safer Bahamas. But it's a long work in progress. We have to understand what the problem is, identify it, and take action. We have one more clip, right? We're going to play one more clip, and then we go to the second segment of the show where we're going to talk about the housing programs in the country. Go ahead, Chris.
Eyewitness News is here at Bahamas Department of Corrections, where an inmate was reportedly stabbed just over an hour ago. Now, when Eyewitness News got to the compound, we saw no signs of EMS, but we can tell you that just moments ago, about three police cars made its way out of this main prison gate right behind me. Now, we did speak with Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, who confirmed that the stabbing incident took place in a cell between two inmates over a slop bucket. Now, for more on this story, stay tuned to Eyewitness News Bahamas Tonight.
So, we talking about building a new prison. This is the 21st century. The prison was only built for about 200 to 300 inmates. Now we have close to about 1,700 inmates at that prison. We still get people fighting over slop bucket, okay? So what you think is gonna happen? Slop bucket, right? Huh? So y'all understand where you're coming from? And many people, you know, would say, you know, do the time, spend the time. That might be true, you know? But I can tell you one thing. If you go in a place where you have to get more dangerous, eh? And we keep sending them there, and then when I listen to the Minister of National Security and I listen to Commissioner of the prison, John Clare, they stated like close to about 90% of inmates at the prison will come back on the streets. So you know what that means for us? And he also stated that there are so many mentally held persons in the prison. And if we look at some of the last set of murders and rape in the country, we'd see that the individuals who did these crimes were people who were released from prison and were in halfway house or released back in the general public. The guy who, can't give account for him, but the guy who fractured the young lady two hand and two leg on Blue Hill Road for no particular reason. He's a mentally held person. So we have developed stronger communities. These type of incident means building stronger communities. It means that the community residents, you know, are doing well for themselves and they come up with their own strategies. They can make suggestions on certain issues that are plaguing their community and come up with solutions to counteract it, you know, knowing that guys like that are going to be on the streets. You know, we could have our private meeting in the community, let the community know that this guy is out. Be vigilant. Tell your kids, you know, prepare. You know, make sure that this guy ain't hanging up to certain in certain spots in the community, like the parks and around houses and around churches and et cetera. And make sure that we can keep an eye on these individuals. And if they, you know, behave in a manner, the community could deal with it. You know, that's why we need to build stronger communities. You know, the police, you know, are not going to be there at that very moment. You know, if we look at the bus stop incident, the police were not there. The police came afterwards. It was a citizen who saved that young lady's life. If you look at some of the incidents that happen in the country, citizens are always first on the scene. Police come afterwards. You know, it's rare that the police catch criminals red-handed. It's always afterwards, after murder. Or why was after murder? Why not before the murder? You understand? So, but the community knows what is be going on in the community. They know that something bad is going to happen, but the community don't have no power. Everyone is poor. Now, we might know what's going to happen. You know, because they said that, you know, we know what's going on. You know, they say, like, for instance, when something happened, we already say, we know, we didn't have this discussion. You know, so if we build stronger communities, empower people, and people start to become business owners and successful workers and successful company owners and, you know, just better citizen, more educated citizens who understand that their job now is to try and have a wonderful life and also to help upbring the next generation up in their respective communities. So the only way things are going to change is we build stronger communities in this country. Okay. Chris, that's the last clip, right? Okay. Now I want to talk on this matter. Before I get to that, I want to play this clip if you could for me, Chris. Thank you very much.
12 families received the keys to their brand new homes in Renaissance at Carmichael during a key presentation ceremony on Thursday afternoon. It comes months after the government presented dozens of keys to homeowners in the affordable housing development. The first phase involves the construction of 200 homes. That's 104 single-family homes with 2 and 3 bedrooms and 8 two-story condominium buildings holding 12 units each. Housing Minister Keith Bell admits there were challenges along the way as the government seeks to make home ownership more affordable and accessible to more Bahamians.
In recent years, we have faced global economic pressures, rising material costs, supply chain disruptions, and inflationary impacts on steel and other essential goods. These factors, ladies and gentlemen, have made construction more expensive, more difficult, and more challenging more than ever. But here's the difference between this administration and the last one. When we face obstacles, we do not retreat. We confront them head on. Under the leadership of our Honorable Prime Minister, we have taken decisive action to keep ownership within the reach for every Bahamian.
In the last year alone, he says the government has presented keys to new homeowners in this community, Abaco and Eleuthera, with plans to construct affordable rent-to-own homes on San Salvador. Prime Minister Philip Davis acknowledged the country's housing shortage.
Solving a lack of affordable housing is not an easy problem. We need a broad array of tools to address the challenge. Before the global inflation crisis that followed the COVID pandemic, which raised prices on almost everything, we already had a shortage of affordable homes. But then prices of the construction materials we import spiked, went up higher, just as Bahamian families were confronting higher prices on nearly everything else. But when we see hard problems, we run towards them, not away from them.
He vowed to do more to put more Bahamians in their own homes.
That's why we implemented the first home owner stamp exemption, waiving VAT on conveyances and mortgage instruments to ease the path for first home time buyers. It's why we raised the exemption threshold on homes valued up to $300,000 so that anyone with a home under $300,000 won't pay a cent in real property tax. It's why we lowered customs duties on building supplies, and it's why we offer VAT refunds on construction materials and services.
Davis says their efforts will be scaled up in the coming years.
There have not been enough affordable housing options for our people. My administration is committed to changing that reality. So to each new homeowner today, congratulations. Go.
Yeah, like I say, you know, I ain't had to thank the Prime Minister for it because that's their job, to provide better homes, better lives for Bahamians. But it's a step in the right direction. You know, like I said, my friend Elroy Bryce on our way to the studios, you know, we give a thumbs up, you know, we complain a lot, you know, so I don't want to say, you know, that just 12 homes. Yeah, 12 homes is little, but that's 12 family. But I'd say 12,000 homes, we need to see how we can do that, you know. Even if we can do 5,000 or 10,000 a year, every year, you know. He talked about San Salvador. He talked about a few other family islands, Eleuthera. I guess they built subdivisions. They put some affordable homes, Crown Land that the Prime Minister actually is in charge of because he is the chief of the nation. And once you become prime minister, You become executive of the crown line in the country, and you know, over the years we have seen where the crown line is being given to many big time corporation that want to come to invest in the Bahamas, like for example Alanis and Albany and Bahama and many other hotels on the West Bay Street or East Bay Street on the outer rims of the country. And that normally comes with the hands of the Prime Minister. Even though the Prime Minister stating that it's a hard thing to do, I don't think it's a hard thing to do, you know. It's just that we don't understand the problem. We don't understand the population growth. We have close to, 5,000 students coming to school every year. And it's high unemployment. We could reduce high unemployment so easy in this country because we are boasting and bragging about the tourism arrival in the country, which exceeds over 12.2 million above what was projected by the Deputy Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Chester Cooper, the Honorable Chester Cooper. He projected that there was going to be a growing growth of arrivals coming to the Bahamas and tourist arrival to the Bahamas. It exceeded over 1.2 million, yet still we have high unemployment in the country. Reason why, we don't use the tourism industry to provide opportunities, job opportunities and ownership. Taxi drivers, jet ski operators, tour guides, and much more can be created in the tourism market. We have overnight guest stays on the cruise ship because they say they see the same thing what they're seeing downtown Bay Street. But yet still, they love our junk canoe, they love our junk canoe costume, they love us as Bahamian citizens. Why are we not being creative? You know, we can create museums, we could create over-the-hill sightseeing tours, which are going now, which is ongoing now because there are many taxi drivers who are using, they're not just taxi drivers, they're tour drivers as well. They're taxi drivers, and then they make some extra money by becoming tour operators because they can't buy 66 step. They can't buy the church, they can't buy the Junkanoo Shark, they can't buy Bamboo Shark, the taste of Bahamian food, can't buy a few native Haitian stores, Jamaican stores that are here in the country, and that's how they make their extra money. So they're not just taxi drivers, they become tour guides as well. So they're getting paid for doing the taxi, and they're getting paid for the tour. The tour, must see triples the taxi money. So I'm encouraging a lot of Bahamians out there. See how you can go get your plate, see if you get your taxi, you know, and see if you could do some creative to touch this 12.2 visitors arrival that are coming to our shores who say they are bored and they stay on the ship. So this is a great opportunity. So like I said, we know what the problem is. We have the right tools to change around the country, you know, because the tourism industry could actually change around this country tremendously when it comes to unemployment. We could reduce unemployment in this country within, I'd say, if we really, really are serious on empowering Bahamians in the tourism industry, we could see a drastic change in about 5 years where we could drop unemployment down tremendously in this country. We raise the quality of life for the citizens. Some Bahamians can come hundreds, thousands, and then, like I said before, we go back in these communities because we have a few business owners in this community. So we could deal with all this trash. We could deal with these guys coming out of prison who live in our community. Just find something for them to do to make sure they don't go back in a life of crime. So the more we be creative, the more we empower the people, I think that the people themselves can solve the problems in their respective community. All we are asking for is the powers to be to make sure open the doors, open the floodgates for the Bahamian people. Give us an opportunity to get rid of this poverty, get rid of this corruption. And once we do that, I think that we're going to see a very, very bright future in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Again, before I let this caller come on, caller, give me about 2 minutes, and I'm going to let you call it, let you talk right now. As far as I'm reading the newspaper, and this has been in the newspaper for a little while, Fanon Wilson, I don't know if it's Fanon, or frankly, Fanon Wilson, the son of Sir Frankie Wilson and Lady Cheryl Wilson, who I did some work with Cheryl Wilson. We was the one who helped won the general election for the Progressive Liberal Party about 10, 15 years ago when we when they gave a 10-point plan on what the country needs to do in order to deal with some of the problems in the community and some of the things that I highlighted to Lady Cheryl Wilson when she was in charge of the female branch, chairwoman of the female branch of the Progressive Liberal Party, who were the ones who actually had the portfolio for the party. And by interviewing me and giving my intake, she was able to take about 20 points that I presented to her, and she presented to the party, and they went on that as their election campaign, and they won. I also have the Free National Movement out the same way, too. I've helped governments won election, people, by me sitting on as a free consultant. And they took those ideas that I gave to them, and they put it as their party portfolio. And we're talking small business, we're talking about developing the community, cleaning up the community, and et cetera. Okay? So for me, like I said, Mr. Wilson, who was the son of Lady Cheryl Wilson and Sir Frankie Wilson, he says there's no magic bullet that can solve the Bahamian housing crisis. I would agree with him in a sense, but I also disagree with him because we have 700 Island, 700 keys. If each one of the sitting members of Parliament who win these Old Island seats, whether from the PLP or from the Free National Movement, if there's a strategic plan and see there's a landmass where we could build a new subdivision, equipped with hospitals, equipped with like 1,000 homes in Elutra, like San Salvador, Andres, which can house thousands of people, Cat Island. You know, so if you're a member of Parliament for Cat Island, you're a member of Parliament of Freeport, and you go and you say, you know what, we need to solve this housing crisis. The Prime Minister made a statement saying that, you know, he's going to try to do his best. But it's simple for you, Prime Minister. All you have to do is instruct all of your members of Parliament who are under you to do a survey in their constituency, whether you're in the inner city community, see how much vacant lots. Those on the family island, you can tell them, say, go find a few acres. We're going to build some subdivisions. We're going to make sure it has a clinic. We're going to make sure it has a convenience store, tennis store, and make the opportunities available for those who will live in Nassau, Bahamas, because now they have an opportunity to go and get a affordable housing, rent own. It could be anywhere in one of the family islands. Make one or wherever it is that the housing complex is going to be built. But it has to be where that school, where it's at grocery stores, tennis store, it's self-sustainable, it has community centers, it has everything accessible for the community so that people could resettle, because there are close to about 300,000 people here living in Nassau, New Providence. If we can build a lot of low-cost homes on the family island and people could get an opportunity to get a small loan for a small business or get a small loan for an affordable home, they could live in Nassau, New Providence, go Lucha, go Cat Island, go make one up. You know, and you have choices, you know? So, like I said, I would agree with Mr. Wilson, head of the AWACOM. I also would agree with the Prime Minister, but like I said, we have all this land. And if we utilize the members of Parliament, both on the Free National Movement and the vote on the Free National Movement and the PLP, and then private partner citizens, and then some of you who are Bahamians, who have all this land, you yourself could be creative and say, man, let me turn this into a subdivision. Don't let the government do it. Don't let just the government do the subdivision. Why not you, who's a family member, who have all this property and doing nothing with it? Put some of the property up for collateral and use the money to go and build a subdivision. And guess what? You can make yourself rich because you utilize the yarn for collateral. Now you build some low-cost homes. You sell it, rent to own, to about, you know, you might say, you know, you might build 100 units, you know, and then you'd say, you know what, let me do a bank payment. I'm going to charge each one of these residents $35,000 to $40,000 for this home. So I'm going to let the bank take out the money at the end of the month. Just like what happened in Pinewood Gardens with Alanis, when Alanis was built, and Alanis, you know, used their input. And they was giving people loans to own to rent or own the homes and buying what garden. It could be the same way done to a lot of these family islands to relocate a lot of Bahamians and give them a different way of life. So the housing problem can easily be fixed in this country. It's just that we're going to have, we just can't look at Nassau, Nassau-centric. We have to look at all the family islands and let the MPs them go do a survey. Family members who have a lot of acres who don't like one another, you all get together and say, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And then make yourself rich instead of just waiting on government. So it could be government, private partners, and also family. Okay? So the housing problem in the country can easily be resolved as long as we take these steps and make it a priority. And then the government itself, whether PLP coming back to be the government again or the FMLN comes in, you're going to say we need to make 2,000 houses each year. And each year we're going to give 2,000. At the end of the year, the prime minister is going to stand up and he's going to give 200 keys to 200 families. It could be from the Bahamas or anywhere else, a single parent, mom or dad, or grandmother who's taking care of the grandchildren, and give them the keys to this house. And they only could pay like $35,000, $40,000 or $45,000 within a 15-year period. So it don't be too expensive. So we don't have them paying rent on one for like 40, 50 years. Some of the people that die before they finish the mortgage. Rent some of the properties basically cost $500, $1,500, $2,000, $25,000, or $5,000 for some of the properties that are available on the family island. And the only encouraging behemoth, you could also go to the commission office. If your family roots or family, your family has some roots in Lucha, Cat Island, you can also go to the commission office and buy a piece of land for like $1,500, $2,500, $500 behemoth people and give yourself an opportunity as well. Think outside the box, behemoth. Okay, we're going to take this call on Guardian Radio. Good night, hello. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Nice,
good day, I'm fine. Good night to you.
Yeah, man. Hey, that Marvin, the little thing say, you know, the housing crisis, that would be like a hard thing to try to solve. That the housing crisis is the easy problem to solve for the mere fact that it's caused from the facilitation of illegal migration.
Mm.
We allow this to just be people come. Be free, bring kids. I mean, it's like akin to what's happening or what's happening in America under Joe Biden. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When people come illegally, they get the okay. I mean, they break the law out of the country. You can't call them criminals. You can't. They get treated better than the citizenry. As in the Bahamas, same thing. You know, I hear you talking about the drug era.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How come you never talk about the illegal migration era that's happening today?
Mm.
We've always been happening.
Yes.
You know? Have you traveled on Shirley Street recently from Waterloo up to downtown?
Yes, sir. I traveled frequently.
You noticed anything with the road?
Go ahead.
The road from Waterloo past the Chinese embassy, the best road in Nassau.
Okay.
You know, you're riding in the States.
The roundabout. Hey. Yeah, the roundabout coming on. Yes.
Hey. I call Shirley Street Embassy Way.
Yeah.
It's a good road from the Chinese Embassy. The bad road, it's stop-rounded almost by Marquis Street Sunrise.
So what you trying to say? What you trying to say?
You get Haitian Embassy.
Yeah.
Haitian Embassy operating from Dorian. Shut it up. The government is not functional. But the embassy operating daily, doing documents and everything. You're talking about corruption, locking up our policemen. We allow these people to come in our country, operate as if they're in their country. They can't operate in their country, but they're operating here. We got our embassy open in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti's in turmoil. Why we got embassy open in there? For what? Why is the embassy open in Nassau? For what? You know, I mean, it's so obvious, it's so corrupt. We looking locking the police, all the police who doing the corruption, right? Why are we allowing that embassy to be operating?
Mm.
I mean, all the shutters, like it closed, you know.
Okay.
From Dorian.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we got to do better, man. We looking to build more houses. We look and everything we get in this country to get any kind of hotel to be built or anything, we say for Bahamian jobs. Black people job, non-behemoth. People who perpetrate being behemoth. Mm. Who basically they carry a different flag and they show their flag on Flag Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, ain't hating, you know, it's principle.
I understand what you're saying, sir.
What we allow to happen in our country, our leaders, who they facilitate, they come to us to get elected.
That's so.
And they go to them to stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look for new people to be moving in, give them passports. You know, that ain't fair, man.
Mm.
It isn't fair. Them people of their country, they're loyal to this. You know, they have their country. And another thing, Mr. Van Monroe, and I heard him on the radio this week talking about, well, we got this, the defense force there, we making sure that Haitians don't come across here, you know, because, you know, millions of them, and if you don't be there, 50 defense force officers, like we stupid or something, man. That country, let me show you something, yeah? Some people know what they're doing. There ain't like no foreigners in there doing all this mayhem. And, you know, and we right there going along with the program. Like we're retarded or something. Mm-hmm. Like we got too much money. We dumping, you know, we need our resources to be in our country because it's proven why they taking the sense of putting it there. They facilitating, you know, and they're taking it like we got to go over there to make sure. We are not a part of Haiti. These people who run this country got to be stupid. We can't help Haiti. We got Haitians standing at the military age men who could go in that country and resolve their problem. They stand around everywhere you turn, on cell phone, everywhere you turn, right in your face. And that's it, you know. We got to wake up. This country is about Haiti. You know, people will build more homes. They got too many homes now. What do you want to do? More illegals, put them out and call it behemoth, give them behemoth passport. We got to do better. But you know what? All this corruption, America, I mean, Trump ain't playing. You know, all around the world, every country around this world right today, they're getting rid of all these illegal people. Why are you facilitating? Get these people out of our country.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our country ain't going nowhere. A case on it. Our leaders know what they're doing. And every leader would go in. Perry, Hubert, every single one of them facilitate. We vote them in, and they don't like us. Even Brave, they need to stop it. You know, but they can stop it this round because guess what?
They going?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Trump, they're gonna stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you notice, he ain't say what he got for Haiti yet. Why? You know, they shooting our planes. When they shoot our planes, would you a terrorist fight? You know, and guess what? Benny, give them that. I'm talking about what they deserve. Call them by their name, terrorists. And you know what? We got all of them up in here. So I mean, we got problem.
Mm.
That ain't our problem. We mix them with the wrong people. Bad company, man. And we got a whole world of people. We can pick any nation we want to deal with. But people come here at their own will and impose themselves upon us. Got their Creole on our radio station. That ain't cool. In Haiti, they don't allow it. They don't allow behemoths to own nothing in Haiti. Huh? We got to be stupid. We got them all on the side of the road selling how they want to sell chairs and they park them on chairs and things on sidewalk where they set up like they own this place. The police pass by. No one says nothing. They buy and everything. We got to do better. We have to do better in this country, man. I mean, we got to be retarded who run this country.
Yes, sir.
And I know, seriously, man.
Yes, sir.
And they know, you know what? And they we can have a talk. Maybe talk about it. Oh, something wrong with the one. Listen to him. He don't like Haitian. No. We got to wake up. It ain't about like and hate. It's about principle. The Bahamas is the Bahamas. Our name is getting tarnished. But these people who have no loyalty to this country, who using our passport, giving us a bad name.
Yes, sir.
You know, that ain't cool. And our leaders need to wake up and stop their foolishness, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks a lot. Boy, you gave me a mouthful. You know, there are people, you know, who are very frustrated with this matter. And, you know, he's talking with the host, and he's saying now we've been in hosts for Haitian nationals and etc. That's the only thing I'm going to say. You know, I respect everything the gentleman said. I understand his frustration. He's trying to give a point that, you know, the housing that we're building, we don't need no more houses in the country. But I would say this to you, sir, we do need housings, you know, because we are Bahamians, natural born Bahamians right now, who living in the city community, has no place to stay and always looking for a roof over their head in this country. And you might say because of illegal immigrants coming in the country, that could be one of the reasons as well. But I just want to say this. Us fixing the Haitian problem in this country, I don't think it's going to be fixable, not for a long time, because they're so embedded in our country's history right now. They are in government office. They are politicians. They are police officers. You mentioned this. They are defense force officers. They are teachers. You know, you have Haitian Bahamians or Bahamians, yeah, living here in the country. So if... The best thing we can do as a country, we have to make sure we protect our borders and stop illegal entry of foreign nationals from coming in our country. Protect our borders as best as we can. And like you talked about the documents and passport and et cetera, that goes deep. It goes deep because you are people who are in position of government documents because of political interference. I'm going to say this to you. I can remember when I was a young guy, I know a lot of guys who are from Haitian national. I don't hate no human being, you understand? But I respect the sovereignty of the country. I respect every country's sovereignty, so I'm not going to go and take advantage of no one country. But I understand the whole scenario about Haiti. I understand their struggles. They even fought for the Bahamas. They fought for a lot of other black nations across the entire world. They were revolution people. They assisted, and because they did that, the French put an embargo on them and put a hefty price on them because they fought for their independence. And I want people to understand this too. They were put in a very serious position. Haiti was one of the most beautiful places and was more richer than the Bahamas going back close to 50 years ago. Look at the report on Haiti and you would see they were decent people. But because of corruption and sanctions were put on by the French and the U.S., they became impoverished, like how the Bahamas has a crime problem now in the country. And this is how people destroy your country. They beat you within. So that's remind you about that. You just have to protect our borders, far as I say, with the passport and stuff like that. Some people, honestly speaking, we signed an international treaty with the CARICOM. You need to look at that. And it states that, you know, if people come here, even though our law states one thing, we can't turn them away. You know, we remember if a lady gets pregnant, she goes to the hospital and she gets medical attention. Basically, I listen, and many people say, why they get medical attention at the Prince of Market Hospital? That's an international law that we signed. You were saying, why our Defense Force officers are in Haiti, and, you know, you're coming down hard on the Minister of National Security, which I do agree with what you're saying. But again, it ain't just about the Bahamas. The Bahamas signs on as head of CARICOM, a part of CARICOM. And this is one of the things that we sign on to. So this is a government issue. You know, we sign contracts. You understand? Way back, we signed contracts with CARICOM. And that's one of the reasons why Vane Monroe says that, you know, they're still going to assist, even though the United States of America is not going to assist no more. It's because we sign on to agreements. You know, the agreements we sign on, we have to be obligated to those agreements, which I don't agree. But like I said, we sign on to these things. You know? And I just like to end on this. We have to stabilize the country. And I think that we have to protect our borders and see how we can restrict those who are coming in. And then there was those who are here who are stagnated. They can't go back. Haiti, even though you could talk about repatriation all you want, right? Some of them have been here 20, 25, 30 years. The government of Bahamas can't just pack them up and send them back. That's how serious it is, because the law didn't do... Let me see how I'm going to put it. The law didn't apprehend them, even though they had illegal entry in the country for 25 years. So they've been here 25 years. They didn't get in our school. They're in the clinic. They're registered in the clinic. It's going to be inhumane to send them back, and they've been here for 20 to 35 years, because even when they go back home, Bahamian, Haitian Bahamians who come from the Bahamas and go back to Haiti, they are targeted. You know, they are killed, they're robbed, they're treated differently because they say they come from, and like you said, it's not our problem, but it is our problem. Because as much as me and you complain about Haitian nationals in the country, there ain't not a thing me and you can do about it because it's so many of them, and many of them are our friends, right? If you look at the Junkin' groups, look at the One Family group, look at the Saxon group, they are Haitian nationalists who are part of the Junkin' group. They make up the majority of number of members of the Junkin' group. Good luck. So it's embedded in us. All we're going to have to do is see how we can stop the influx as much as possible. Other than that, if we're looking for the government to take drastic measures, the government knows how many people are living here of a Haitian descendant, how many are Bahamians. That's why when it comes to the general election, you would see them go to the churches and stuff like that because they know that the Haitian national also decides Haitian Bahamian who of their past, but also decides who becomes the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And that's why you stated Perry and Hubert Ingham, all them cater. They have the cater because if you understand, they know the numbers. They have the government report. They have the birth certificates. They have their people in their party who is telling them, you know, who is the boss and go to these meetings. And when you go to these meetings, you're seeing these things. So we just have to build stronger communities, empower Bahamians, and just continue to grow. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line on Guardian Radio.
Hey, good evening, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
Good evening. I'm fine, sir.
Yeah, I just listened to, I think that's Freethinker just now.
Freethinker. Yeah, he did well.
Yeah, I think that's Freethinker. Yeah. I mean, Freethinker still ain't changed after all these years. He still have that deep passion against people who look like me and you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to watch that.
But see, the thing about it is this, Scrooge. We need to get more, more mature and think deeper in the situation, right? I mean, a couple of things I could try one if I could remember them quickly. Scrooge, I mean, America, right? White people fought for America. They all kind of war and think for America, right?
Yes, sir.
And when they got the land, they welcome all kind of immigrants from Europe.
Yes, that's why it became great.
Other white people are coming. Mm. They don't care if they were from Spain, Germany,
yes.
Italy, no matter. But I mean, they had a part of Italy, but no matter where in Europe you basically come from, you could come to America and come and live as a white person.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming
yes,
from?
Sir. Right?
Because they needed the manpower and the help to build the country, right?
Yes, sir.
And they fought for that. Right. Now here we are, a bunch of little black people in this little Bahama land. We think we own, right? We would get given to us, right?
Yeah, this is a corporation.
Would get given to us.
I just want them to know.
Would get given to us, right?
I just want to be with people.
We don't want to share it with our so-called.
I just want them to know.
From Haiti, right? And who? Like I just finished saying this now. Immigrants helped to build the country
of
America.
Yes, that's
right?
True. That's true.
And we seeing around here how Haitians helping this country to
yes,
build.
Yes,
we see
yes.
It. Yes. We could see it.
No doubt. No doubt.
You understand from my school?
No doubt. No
right?
doubt.
We could see. Are you?
I say no doubt. No doubt. The work is
no
there.
No doubt. We could see that. We could see that. You understand where I come from? But we won't get into this little stupidness with this little stupid thing. I mean, like I say before, the greatest issue what we as Bahamian people need to overcome in our minds is our dislike for our Haitian brothers and sisters, because that is the greatest issue. It's like that is the only yeah. issue in this country. What PLP is dropped? They PLP color for FNM dropped. They red color for COI dropped. They black thing for. All of them will come together. They gang up on the Haitian. You understand? I'm coming
yes,
from
sir,
like,
yes,
they'll forget political. They'll forget religious. They'll forget everything.
Yeah.
When it comes to Haitian, everybody drop everything and all over the Haitian.
Yeah, you don't see. Not saying the cutting of. I see the Bishop. I think it's Lincoln Bain, CO leader. And, you know, he hard on Haitian nationals.
But
you don't do things like that.
The reason why Lincoln Bain took it up like that is because he's looking for political brownie points. I've been real with you. So as a person who won't go into politics, you take on issues that you know will build up the most emotions in people. You understand that would make
yes,
people
sir.
Say, oh, yeah, that's what won't happen. And if he could do it, that's the thing that won't happen most. So as politicians, you speak the things that you know people will respond to.
And I ain't gonna lie.
Come from school?
And I ain't gonna lie.
Huh?
And I ain't gonna lie. Seeing it from him who wants to be a leader, right? It ain't look good, you know.
No.
It didn't look good. I mean, how we hate, if those who hate Haitian, that's all good. But for us, you know, who here understand the dynamics and what people went through in their year.
You understand where I come from,
Scrooge? Yeah, you know, it looked bad for a leader to be talking. And there's so much good.
And Scrooge, and how you was talking to Scrooge, it looked bad from all type of perspective. Like how you was talking, you say Haiti help all type of people.
Right? All type of people.
All type of nations, Haiti help, right?
They free some of the African nations and all. I didn't even know that.
But who do you see right now helping Haiti right now? Who do you see, what country in the world do you see really risking anything or really like, say, making a grandstand for Haiti? Who?
Nobody.
Nobody, Dredd?
And Haiti fought for a lot of Caribbean countries. I didn't even know that. Do your research. Some of us wouldn't even be in free today. Do your history.
I know what the guy named
in Cuba. Huh? Castro and all was working with Haitian.
Yeah,
I didn't even know all this. They ran in Africa and freed up many of the African nations in apartheid with Nelson Mandela.
Haiti helped what they call Latin American.
Yes.
But them help conquer. You understand where I come from, right?
Even the bombers and all.
Some of them people still have much respect for Haiti. And they talk about it on the government level. You understand what I'm saying, right?
And
even on top of that, too, Haiti was occupied by American soldiers and troops and different things from, 1915 to, 1930, right?
For them.
And they take all the Haiti gold, take everything out of Haiti, and then they put Jean-Claude de Valley there, whoever that man was there, like,
Hand-picked by the U.S. government. Hand-picked by the U.S. government.
I say he was hand-picked by the U.S. government. Yes, brother.
Did they destabilize it? I just want to say this quickly. You, to all the callers out there, when you talk about the gold and silver, remember the earthquake going down when Hillary Clinton was going over there with our foundation?
Yes, brother, I remember.
Haiti is not a poor nation. Like I tell you,
no, sir.
From France put that thing among them, the embargo, and the U.S. is filling it with the occupying their soldiers. They're taking all the Haiti natural resources. They have a mound there with the most expensive mineral in the world.
You understand
what I'm saying? With space shuttles and submarines. So it's just that the fact that the powers to be are stopping Haiti from actually achieving their goal.
And you know something, Scrooge? What Haiti teaching me as a black person now, in this time, right, and in modern time, right, is the resilience of black people.
Yeah.
Because even in the midst of the whole world being against them, people are still surviving.
Yes.
But even though they're surviving hard and tough and got to risk their life on boat to try and come here,
yeah,
the brothers and sisters who look like them, who won't kick them back to Haiti,
yeah,
even though when Haiti achieved independence in 1804, whatever, they put in their constitution that anybody who reached the shore who looked like me and you,
yes,
even if we, you know what I mean, as it was a free man, when everybody else around us was slaves, they say, if
yes,
we make it to Haiti, they will take us and be the free man. And now look at what we're doing to them. You understand where I'm
coming
from,
man? Yes, sir.
You see, we really need to get into a nice, long discussion on this, Scrooge, to try and
get some understanding.
Some type of understanding among our people.
Yeah.
That we put an end to this stupid thing because it is holding us back on a serious level. But let me say something else to you, Scrooge. People talk about Trump, right? Trump got plenty of problems, right? Don't mind Trump clowning. America is the defeated empire. America is on its way out, brother. America, Trump got plenty of problems. That's why he's trying to grasp all over the place and talk about tariff this. And you ever hear about something called BRICS?
Yes, sir.
Good?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You have something called BRICS?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that unification with Brazil and Russia.
Yes, yeah, Russia,
and China,
yes,
and all
Iran, and Indonesia, all those places.
Indonesia just joined them. That is another massive
population. Over 100 countries now, right?
You know, understand I'm from
over 100 right? countries now that join, I think.
That block of countries are so powerful right now, but that's the future.
Yes.
You understand where I'm from? And I mean, I don't know how that future could look for us as a nation, seeing that we don't condemn Russia when Russia was dealing with Ukraine for America.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm from? We better start telling.
Yes.
Well, who knows? I'm Chinese here, tough, so, you know what I mean? Chinese is a part of BRICS, so we might have some kind of leeway with that.
Yeah.
You understand? But another thing, too, Ben Freethinker was talking about, and they like to talk things that, Ben Freethinker was talking about how our Haitian brothers and sisters imposing their will on us. And he talked, and for example, he gave us a talk show. My goodness, man, Scrooge, you're trying to tell me, Scrooge, if you have a population of people, a diaspora of people, like a bunch of Bahamians live in Miami, right, a large enough of y'all, you're trying to tell me y'all wouldn't want a radio show?
Yeah, Eric, that's all over the world. That's all over the world. Eric, that's all over the world. That's all over the world.
I mean, look at it.
Yeah, it's all over the world. It's all over the world.
Free
off talk show. You are behaving off talk show in America. And,
you understand? But free thinker must sit on ride around and see how the Chinese buying up everything. Eh?
Yeah, the Chinese.
How the Chinese selling us liquor on every corner and how they stop selling food. Now
they're the ones who taking they're taking the majority of the money out of the country, you know, because they're making millions.
He ain't got a problem with that. Let me say something. I rather people who look like me screwed. I don't care where they come from. You understand? If they come here and they call themselves a behemoth and they say they love this place or whatever the case may be, and they come here, right,
screwed, and abide by our rules. Pay taxes.
Like me, I don't care, Smooch, but I'd rather them come here and take over society or whatever the case may be, because that means that they're pushing harder than me and you. If you understand what I'm saying,
you get the black rob syndrome. The opportunity here for us, but we're playing dead, so the black rob syndrome.
That means they got better work ethics than me and you.
Yeah. And we should learn something.
That means we ain't got a lazy nation. You know, but they still black like me and you. Yeah. They still African, no matter how it boils down to it. We still black people.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather that than to have the China man come in or the white man come in and rule over me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You understand where I come from, Scrooge?
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Both callers did a very excellent job on their analogy of their comments. And I would agree on both scenario. You know, the gentleman just now, he's a little more passionate about the issue. But like I said, you know, we have Haitian nationals in all government departments. You know, they are behemoth now. They ain't going nowhere. They have children. You know, children, their children, enough children. So, you know, the only thing we can do is protect our borders. Don't give her no more citizenship. If we do give her the citizenship, make sure that when we give it out, make sure that they know our national anthem. They agree that as long as they don't stay in trouble, a certain amount of years, you know, if not, they'd be shipped out of the country. Their citizenship can be taken back. So I think this is a tense that we're going to have to look into. But overall, like the gentleman said, you know, me as an individual, I don't hate no nation. I just know that people who come over sometimes, they could be bad people, and some could be good. They're bad people come over, and there could be good people come over. So the only thing I'm looking for is a balance and hope that, you know, we have things put in place that we protect our Bahamas and also protect our borders. And most importantly, how we can get this stigma that we have a problem here. And we have this hate in our heart towards other nationality. And they might have the same thing towards us. They might want what we have. But they already get what we have because, like I said, they done been here for hundred years. They're embedded in our country. You don't know who they are. You wondering why some of the things are going, like corruption could be that. You know, we just have to slow down on how we get with passports and make sure that everything is screened properly. That's the only thing I can say. Other than that, we can't stop what is already being started in the country. The only thing we can do is try to be more vigilant and put barriers in place and stop the influx of those coming in on the sloops and putting pressure on our healthcare system. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. You know, that wasn't my topic, talking about the Haitian nationals. That's what the three callers talked about. And so we comment on it for a little bit. But if you want to comment on it, go ahead. Caller, you're on Inside Inner City. You still there, caller? I guess they left. And like I said, you know, I don't hate nobody. I know I had friends back in the early 70s, so I went to school with. You know, they were Haitian nationals. You know, they didn't have no papers. And they wait till they get 18, and then they got their papers and they became behemoths. And a lot of them are contributing to the country's development. Just the problem with those coming in the sloops. They're running away from their country because, you know, of the violence. And I was just watching the gangs in Haiti, and I could see where the guys, you know, they're talking about barbecue and how they now want the residents to come back and live in the communities in Haiti because they said they are fighting against the police because the police have these companies, like how the caller talked about the U.S. occupying Haiti. And what they are doing is they are stealing from the Haitian people. So the gangs themselves are trying to stop the embezzlement or the thiefage. But in doing so, they're heavily armed, because when the country becomes poor and the youths become poor, they start to prey on one another. But they are starting to realize themselves, they look like they want to start cleaning up the communities, and they are saying that they want the residents who were living in those communities to come back. So they're trying to work on their country, but it's going to be a rough, rough road. And just remember, the position Haiti is in now, we could say God, but also France and also United States, who are stealing all their natural resources. My friend Elroy Bryce said the caller talked about the United States is falling, but Elroy is saying that the United States is still the strongest. Yeah, they are still the strongest, which I would totally agree. But they are getting break down from within. When you're talking about the BRICS, you mean started the Russians and the Iranians, those countries, and China, those people are come up with their dinero, where they are spending their currency. They're not using the U.S. dollar no more. So that part of the world is not using the U.S. dollar no more. This part of the Western Hemisphere is still using the U.S. dollar. So for us, it's not going to really affect us as a country on this part of the world, because the U.S. still has a lot of power in this part of the Western Hemisphere. That's why they're protecting. That's why Kamala Harris was here before the general election in the U.S. And she assured us that she wanted to work closely with us because they're afraid of the BRICS. That's what the caller was saying, because they don't want the bombs to go join the BRICS. Because now, like I said, that'd be an alternative to the U.S. currency, which is the U.S. dollar, dollar for dollar. But those countries are working together. I think it's close to over 80 to 100 countries that have come together under the Russian thing. That's something what Gaddafi started in Libya, what he's looking to start in Libya, by letting all countries unite and getting rid of the U.S. dollar and using the gold as a gold dinar. So that's what happened. We can take this last call on Inside the City. Go ahead, caller. You only have a few minutes.
School J, good night, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
School J, interesting conversation here. And like you, I appreciate and I understand the passion of the last caller in particular. There are one or two things that I have issue with his statements, and I want to quickly address them. You know, to use the word hate for Haitians is something that I believe, in my humble view, is not the case with many law-abiding Bahamians in this country. All the average Bahamians who are law-abiding in this country want to see is we speak about a stable democracy, a stable society.
Yes, sir.
How could you have a stable society when you have a group of persons and not necessarily just the Haitians? Because you have Chinese doing it, you have Hondurans doing it, you have Americans doing it, you have Canadians doing it. But it so happens that the Haitian diaspora is the largest group in this country that is known to have violated our immigration laws in particular, because that is where the crux of this whole matter comes from.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to be very, very honest and succinct in our statements and in our thoughts. We grew up with many Haitian nationals in our country. And if you go in the Haitian diaspora right now in particular, saying that this is the center of the conversation that has happened within the past few minutes, you're going to find out that many of the same persons who actually came here from Haiti many, many, many years ago are totally against many of their own nationals here in this country who have violated our laws.
Yes, they speak on it. I saw a lady on Facebook today. Yeah, she speak up on it. She said that.
So we can't sit here and talk about we are xenophobic or whatever, but we want the laws of this country to be acknowledged and adhered to.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All it is.
Yes, sir.
And we talk about the monies that go out of this country by the Chinese. I said on the radio no longer earlier this week, if we were really to be serious, noting that many Bahamians travel, but we travel the right way, we have to declare how much monies we are carrying with us. So the Bahamas government would have almost a total or close to accurate as possible the amount of monies that's leaving these shores. When you find that persons are leaving the country using the resources, not basically with the monies that they make here, spending the monies back into the economy to keep the economy strong, and so on and so forth. I mean, why would you believe that our Bahamians hate Haitians. We don't hate Haitians. We hate the lawbreakers. If you want to use the word hate,
the illegal immigrants who come in, the illegal immigrants who come in on the sloops and stuff. Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
because
yes,
it is many of them
yes.
who is causing havoc in their own country of Haiti.
Yes.
Coming here to the Bahamas, and they too yes, contribute sir. To the
understandable.
Devastation here.
Understandable. Good point.
So to that previous caller, come on, I understand what you're saying. But let's be very fair in your statements when it comes down to a Bahamian, because I am a Bahamian. I love all people.
Yes,
and
me
even,
too.
Even the Haitians who I grew up with.
Yes, yes.
Even the Haitian people that is around me.
Yes,
as
sir.
Long as the level of law
is applied.
And the level of respect is here between
yes.
them and us,
yes.
they have no problem from people like me.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say here.
That was good. That's good.
The record.
Yes,
okay?
sir. That was a good statement. I with you on that too. I'm with all the callers, but I with you on that. You like you said, you were very passionate with the caller said that. Yes, that's understandable. That's why I like the conversation. And he's not really taking no shot at the person he's referring to. He's just saying that. Just look at it. We are talking about the illegals who come on the boat and put the screen on our healthcare for those who here who have been neutralized. You know, we for them, but he's talking about said who come in. They're desperate, you know, they're coming out of a war-torn country, and they are desperate, and they're going to make bad decisions. That's what he's talking about. So just we have the regular gate, protect our borders, make sure how we get with citizenship, dealing with passport and stuff like that. And if we do give them out when they reach 18, we have to make sure that it's a signed statement where, you know, you can't deal with no illegal smuggling, you know, using the Bahamas resources as to go and get your brothers and sisters and stuff like that to come back illegally in the country and then try to get them straight by using your Bahamian passport as a way to get them to come over because, you know, you could use your passport now and say, you know, I want some family and friends to come over on a job interview. That's all we're saying. But overall, me, I love all people. I hate wicked people, whether you're Bahamian, whether you're Haitian, or whatever, you're Cuban, American. As long as you're wicked, you're my enemy. That's how it goes. But overall, I love all people. As long as you ain't wicked. All right? As long as you ain't wicked. You ain't got no bad ways. You ain't got no bad mind. You come to contribute. You ain't trying to cause no harm. You ain't sipping behind your friends them back. You know, you helping people. Yeah, that's what I'm for. So to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job here tonight on Guardian Radio. And again, I'm going to close on this. I started show off with the police officer, and I said that the police officer is dealing with their internal matters. And I'm going to end on this. Police officer accused of assaulting a fourth grade student. All right? So that's why I said the corruption has got so worse that every day we look in the newspaper at some of the police. So the force has to keep up persecuting and training officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force and to keep those officers in check to make sure that they stay within protocol and understand what it is to be a police officer and to make sure that they do their job with due diligence, with the most honesty and integrity. And that's what they're trying to regain again. But we as Bahamian people, we help to keep up the fight of spreading those and talking about these matters. And now we're seeing the matters getting resolved. Johnson has been fired from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. The other four officers are being fired from the police force. We have the next two who also look like they're going to be fired from the police force. Many more are being fired and also being put before the court. And that's all we can ask for. So to all the callers, to all the listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show here tonight on Guardian Radio. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. It's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Shout out to my boy, all right? Bless up, brother. Good night, everybody.
Don't take no back.